Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. I want to welcome you to our Thursday morning edition as we continue in our lesson on the subject, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so as we continue in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? We're sharing with you its function, the attributes of the Holy Spirit that is at work in all of our lives. And as we renew our mind with the Word of God, we become more acclimated to understanding these spiritual truths and trusting them to live by on an everyday basis. And so yesterday we continue in our lesson dealing with in Luke chapter 1 and talking about the miraculous birth of Mary bringing forth Jesus into the world, but also discovering that, you know, it was a miracle, a biological miracle for Elizabeth to bring forth John. I just discovered that the age of, I know the Bible said they were stricken in age, meaning they were just like Abraham and Sarah, but I didn't find out how old they were. I talked a little bit last night. They could have been in their 70s or 80, perhaps even 90, because the Bible said they were stricken in years. So my wife told me that they were, I think Abraham was about, Zachariah was in his 90s and Elizabeth was in her 80s. So it kind of fit what we are, that the Word of God said they were stricken in years. And so we can see that the barrenness that was there, again, it may have not, I can't say it may have not taken that long, but it was just like Isaac was a type of Christ, then we could see here that Zechariah, one that was going to bring forth the Messiah or introduce the Messiah to the world, his birth was just as supernatural, because you're dealing with two people that were past the years of bringing forth a childbearing. And so they had to depend upon the word of the Lord. And that's the reason why God had to shut Zechariah's mouth, so that he did not abort the plan or the prayer that he made to God. You see, it's very easy for you and I to look in the natural, just like they did. She's 80 something. Zechariah is in the 90s. And to bring forth a child is just like, no, it's too late. You know, why bring forth a child in my old age? You know, how can this be? And etc. Well, we saw that John the Baptist came forth. Elizabeth has conceived John the Baptist. And now we're here dealing with the subject about looking at this aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how God, through the angel Gabriel, ministered to Mary as he did to Zechariah. The results are different of how Mary came to the place of receiving the word. Zechariah had to be made dumb in order for the promise to come to pass. So let's look at this as we continue along these lines. And let's just go back and start at verse 26 here and look at it. It said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, remember, we talked about how the angel came from God. He had a specific purpose of coming from God to the city of Galilee, to Nazareth. And notice this, it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So he know he knew who he was going to, excuse me, whom he was going to communicate with, because he was sent by God. And notice this in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." So notice the angel come and introduce and says to her, "Hail, thou art highly favored." In other words, she's highly favored because she has been picked by God to bring forth a special need or an assignment or something that God has appointed, allotted at an appointed time. Excuse me. And it's the same thing here that God would do for you and I. You and I are called for a specific time in life to do what? To bring forth whatever that is God has destined for us to do. But in the meantime, we're living life, preparing ourselves, going through great preparation of growth, you know, extracting things from our lives and and then adding things into our lives by the word of God. And so notice this here. In verse 29, he said, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be." And I explained to you yesterday how, you know, I was a car painter for a long time, and I had the same experience, not in the likeness of how Mary did, but at the same experience of God using the Holy Spirit to use my vocal cord to do what? To speak supernaturally through my mouth and putting me in a place where I knew nothing about. And for over 42 years, I've been in the same place. Now, I've tried to leave a couple years. Excuse me. I tried to leave a couple years, but the Holy Spirit brought me back to the place that God destined for me to be over 40-something years ago. What am I saying to you? You and I can't do this or be where we think we ought to be or where we want to be. You know, we can, but we're going to delay the promise. In some way, we may abort the vision. And so, but the Holy Spirit will keep working with us until we get back in that place where he originally intended for us to be. And I'm just saying, I'm a living witness that, you know, we can mess some things up. We can go before God. a lot of things can happen in a manner to whereas we trying to help God bring forth his plan. And what God needs from you and I is just make ourselves available. Just think about Mary. What was Mary doing for God to use her? Mary was not putting herself in a place expecting God to move through her life. She didn't know she was the chosen one to do what? To bring forth the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. She was chosen, excuse me, from the foundations of the world. And through her being chosen, God stepped into time, just like he does with you and I. God will step into time and do what? And manifest himself to you and I in a means to whereas he, in a means to whereas he will minister to us and put us in a place that whereas as we function in the light of what he has called us to, nothing shall be impossible to him that believe. Now, I just want you to see that Mary was just a young girl, about anywhere between, history says she was anywhere between 12 to 17 years of age. And I'm just saying, this is how old she was. And this young lady, again, think about you and I. You going about your everyday life. You love God. You believe in God. I knew Mary believed in God. She loved God. But for her to be picked, chosen at this moment, for such a time as this, I mean, look what the scripture said. In verse 29, it said, and when she saw him, meaning now she saw the angel. That means the angel was visible. You know, sometimes, you know, we have angels around, but this angel, he told her he was Gabriel. He was from, you know, sent from God. And notice this. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a moment. And then notice in verse 30. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. It's the same thing that the same angel said to Zechariah. Fear not, Zechariah. See? And he told him what was the purpose of him being there, that God heard his prayer. And that they was going to bring forth a male child, and his name was going to be John. Now notice that all this was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. You and I live in our lives walking. You love God again. You believe in God. We may not be doing everything in a perfect manner for God to use us, but no one is in a perfect place. We grow into maturity. We mature as time goes on. But even, you know, you may not even be in a place of complete maturity. I mean, when you think about, Gideon. Here, Gideon were part of the Israelite, and they were taken captive by the Midianite. And Gideon was hiding in that wheat bed. And he was threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianite, because if they discover any weaponry that they had, they were taken from them because they could use it against them. And they were taken captive because of their own disobedience. But then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and told him he was a mighty man of valor. How could you be a mighty man of valor hiding in slavery? Think about that for a moment. There's nothing about me that could be mighty at the moment. How could you call me a mighty man of valor? I'm in captivity. I'm hiding from my enemies. And see, I'm trying to speak to you in a manner to show you the natural perspective that we have of ourselves going about in our everyday affairs. You don't realize the importance that God has in you and what he has assigned for you. And we'll use our natural conditions, circumstances, to try to prove that we're not qualified. I mean, think about Gideon. When he realized that God, that the angel of the Lord was there, he then made forth an altar. And then as time went on, he went on and say, well, if the Lord is with me, now, I don't recommend this for you and I as a New Testament believer, but remember, it's the same manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but it was concealed. You and I have this revelation in a revealed way because Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit of Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, was not in Gideon, but it was upon him. It was a type. It was a shadow. You and I don't have to fleece God when we know that we have the Spirit of God, because he wasn't sure. And you got to understand the position that he was in at that moment. Not just him, but all of the Israelite. And God called him a mighty man of valor. And notice, he put this fleece out. Again, like I say, it's not for you and I to do so because we don't have to. They don't work for us, because if you put a fleece out, you can get fleece. But for them, it was, you know, it was proper to do. Why? Because, again, under the dispensation of this grace that you and I live by, we have a mediator. Everything has already been done for us. I'm speaking to you from a position of what you already possess, what you already have. What you and I have to do is learn how to use the victory that is in Christ Jesus so that God's goodness can be displayed where everyone around can see. They can't see your spirit, but they can see the hand of God on your life through the way you handle affairs, the way you conduct yourself on an everyday everyday way of living. But what did Gideon do? He said, well, one of the first things he said, well, Lord, if you're with me, then first, I think one of the first leads he did, I may be off a little bit, you know, let all the grass have dew, but let the fleece underneath be dry. And he saw, and it was. And then he came back, he said, well, let all the grass be dry, but let the fleece on top, nothing but the fleece itself, be wet. And so, and it was so. What was, you know, God was building his confidence, because that's all he had. The same thing with Abraham. God used the stars, he used the sand of the sea. He used things outwardly that Abraham could do, what could identify as God's creation, but God used it to show him that I'm God. I can do this. It's not God's best, but again, because of the fallen nature of man, and God did all of that so that he could have his resident back inside of you and I as he has today. So I'm saying this, even though it's in the Word of God, it's Old Testament, but I don't want you to live by these things, these methods, because they are not for us to live by. But we can see the faith of God's Word that is in there that you and I can partake of today. And so, what did Gideon do? So then Gideon, after Gideon knew that the Lord was with him, what was the first thing he did? He went and gathered up 32,000 men. And the Lord said that was what? Too many. And so, you know, what was the first thing the Lord told him? Because remember, the Holy Ghost knows all things. When you have a lot of people behind you, and we like to always believe that those people that are behind us, man, that's an honor from God. And truly, it would be. But when God began to start letting you know, say, all that is fearful and afraid, remember the direction. Remember how Gabriel was there. It's the same thing God is showing Gideon. I'm revealing to you why I'm here. Okay, I want to bring deliverance. I heard the prayer of the Israelite, and I'm ready to bring deliverance to them. But 32,000 is too many. What Gideon was already didn't have the right number. But look what God told him. He said, no, all that is fearful and afraid, tell them to, you know, to go back, to go home. 32,000. I mean, 10,000. It left him down to 22,000. That was fearful and afraid. And then God said, the number is still too broad. And he went on and gave him, it got down to 300, whereas those that lapped like a dog, water like a dog, those would be, and it, the number dropped from, went from 32 to 22, from 22 to 300. Now, what could you do with 300 people against the Midianites that was holding them captive? That in your mind will put you in a place of thinking, no, this can't be the Lord. See, your natural mind will not allow you to compute the ways of the kingdom. That's why God used all the, went along with the outward sign to show Gideon that he was with him. Well, the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you and I. He's the confident booster on the inside to get your intellect to understand that, hey, you're not being led by your intellect. You're being led by your spirit. The Holy Spirit is to remind, your intellect, you are not just soul or flesh, but you are spirit, soul, and body. It is your spirit that is going to give you light. It is your spirit that's going to enlighten you through the soul and your intellect. And this is the reason why it takes a moment for us to grab hold that God don't need a lot of people to get done what he needs to get done. He just needs someone that will obey him, and he will work the miraculous through you and I, whoever yields themselves to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And Gideon came out and spoiled all of the Midianite and took back everything that belonged to them, and God moved them forward. It's the same thing here. God is speaking to Mary through the angel Gabriel. Mary's not born again either. But God can step into time if we are willing to allow him to be God. And so the angel Gabriel had to show what his, you know, his worth of being there. And he had to have evidence. He had to be very convincing that he was sent by God to minister to her. And as we finish the story right here, notice this. So the angel said in verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And you could say, I have too. Because you have. You just don't know what you are favored for. One thing we know, we're favored for salvation. You know, but our salvation is not only the forgiveness of sin. It start out with that, but your salvation is bigger than just the forgiveness of sin. It's the introduction. It's the open door to be able to hear from God, to fellowship with God, to commune with God without any type of guilt or shame. But then as you move forward, the favor of God in your life is what? Now I'm living life out to see what is it that God will help me to do. You know, we always talk about purpose. You know, purpose work for us in different seasons. God may purpose, you know, you may have the call to be in the ministry. You may have the call to start a field ministry. A field ministry is a traveling ministry. Or you may have the call to be a lead pastor, maybe a music ministry, maybe a business, maybe in education, different thing. But you find yourself not there. And here's the point I want you to see. In order for you to get where you believe you really purpose, you find yourself doing some things that are maybe out of seasonal. meaning you can't see how this will help you to get where you're supposed to be. You know, let's say if you might be in a, you know, you might be going to school for business, and here it is, you're working for McDonald's. They're paying you minimum wages or whatnot, and it's just like, you know, what can I do with this? But guess what? You don't understand that job is, it may not look like, you know, you're going to be able to walk in your purpose or whatever, but that job, first of all, is teaching you, number one, discipline. It's teaching you how to follow, not lead, but how to follow. It's teaching you to commit. And then as you go on, you can move up in that ranking, or you be able to probably move to a different company and et cetera. But all of a sudden, each step is leading you to a higher plane. And then before you know it, now you are a divisional regional manager over maybe a couple hundred McDonald's. What is it? How did you get there? It didn't start. You didn't start from the top. You started from the bottom. You started from a place that looked like this was insignificant. You started from a place that looked like it, this is pushing me further away from my vision than it is to my vision. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you. And as we continue to walk with him every day, and this is the reason why I'm saying this to some of you that may be listening, you may be doing things in a out of seasonal, if I'm saying that right, out of seasonal, but it is not a waste of time. It is to see will you allow the Holy Spirit at work in you, because you got this peace, are you allowing him to do what he got to do in you that can't be done no other way? It might be something in you he's working out. It may be something in you that as you move forward into the thing he purposed in your life, you're going to run into people with these same type of stressful, whatever it may be. And now you have been prepared to do what? To step up with the grace of God, with the favor of God in your life, and how to minister to them, and how to lead them, and how to direct them in where they need to be. But if you just started off on the top with no training, you didn't have no one to mentor you. And I'm talking about, you know, our mentor should be someone that been somewhere. Our mentors ought to be someone that have gone through some stressful things. Maybe even failed at some things and got up and teaching you what to do and what not to do. You don't want a mentor that hadn't been through nothing. You want somebody, excuse me, that's seasoned and somebody that's proven in the things of the kingdom of God or in the business aspect. Amen? And I'm just saying that, why? Because as you grow, as you go, you will find yourself being promoted by the Spirit of God, using a man or a woman to promote you from one spot to another spot. I'm saying this, why? Because all my life, I've been trained to lead. When I look back, I didn't always know that. But even as in high school, you know, I played football. I wasn't the best player on the team, but I was probably one of the most disciplined player on the team. And in my senior year, I made it to as being one of the team captain of the football team. Me and Newman, forgot his. But you know, good friend of mine. And we had some great players on our team back then. But my point is that all of that was training me to lead. Even learning how to do paint and body work, it was teaching me that someday I will lead, and I did. It kept bringing me from pain and body, pain and body through football. Then the years I went to college, that I was in college, I was working for Pizza Hut, and my manager told me that if I would not be so silly, I could lead. And I was in school because my parent was actually paying for my schooling. They wasn't just going to pay for me to live my life like I wanted, so I had to get a job. So I got that little job, you know, so I could just live off the way I wanted, but they would pay for my schooling. And then I ended up with, when she told me that, that thing struck a nerve on the inside. I went back to work the next day with a different attitude. And from that point on, that thing, why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, was using that to bring me to another level. And as he did that, I became a lead person in charge, to an assistant manager, to a manager, until I ran a couple of Pizza Huts during that time. And it took me from one place to another place. It did the same thing for me in working with Arkin, but now I'm called to the ministry. But it don't look like any of these things is helping me where I'm going. I'm trying to show you that God will use things in your life, places you've been, that you don't think that the Holy Spirit was at work, and it was using it as a mean to prepare you so that it can bring you to an ultimate place of the thing that God purposed for your life. And if you could understand what I'm saying here, I don't want you to leave, get off this feed whenever you listen to it and you're just like, you know, I wake up today and I go to sleep and you think that you got to have something spectacular take place. And you don't realize, if you just take time and look back in your life and look at from where you've been to where you are now, and if you could look and see the Holy Spirit at work, how he has brought you, and look at the attitude, the mindset you got right now, that goes to show you that spiritual growth. And if you continue to allow him to bring forth the fruit that God is desiring of you, you will see greater manifestation, but they won't happen overnight. All of our journeys are different. All of our path of what we went through and places we've been, they're different. So don't try to compare your journey or your path with someone else, because you are not the same person. You could have been in the same places, but the personality of who you are is different. So the work of the Holy Spirit is working in you, doing things in you. It had to work maybe a little bit harder on the inside of me because of the hardness could be of my heart. And what I'm saying to you is that never use someone else's experience to say, well, Lord, what about me? No. Just stay committed to the call and understand where you are. God is doing something in your life by the Spirit, and he is prepping you. You don't even know that you could be one day away from the thing that God purposed in your heart to do. But it's not in your timing. It's in his timing. What do I do? I want to close with this. I'm not going to be able to finish this about Mary, but I want to leave you with this verse of scripture right here. In the book of Proverbs chapter 16, I used to meditate on this a lot, and it took me a long time to really understand what God was actually saying here. In the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1 says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Notice that they both are from God. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. What is that simply saying? God is prepping your heart. Your heart will be your understanding. Your heart will be your perception. Because some of us can have been down some roads, traveled down some roads. You have had some ideas. You have had some ways. You had some things that happened to you unfairly. You had some things that have spoiled you along the way and kind of made you bitter, even towards certain colors, towards certain people, and etc. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will bring you down a road to do what? To get that out of you, to dig that out of you. He'll put you in places. He'll put you around people to do what? To root out. Because why? You can't fulfill the will of God or walk in the power of the Holy Ghost being angry or being being divided, being racist, being whatever. See, why? Because people, ignorance will keep them walking in a way that they think is okay. Because notice the next part, notice the next verse in Proverbs 16. It says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. That's why you can't just judge something from your own perception. Yes, a lot of things were done in the earth, done in society that was not right, but we can't live in the past. We got to move forward. You got to move on and see it from God's perspective. And when you learn to see things from God's perspective, then God, what is he doing? He's positioning you because I want to use you in a manner to make right. But he can't do it with the attitude that I have at the moment. Because all I'm going to do is what? I'm going to cause more harm, more division. Why? Because I lack understanding. And what does Hosea 4:6 say? My people are destroyed because of what? Of a lack of knowledge. So that's what we have today in society. People are destroyed today because they lack knowledge, because they lack understanding. And I'm telling you, unless you empower the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead in the way that he wants to go, we will still be ignorant. We'll still be angry. We'll still be full of hate. We'll still be divisive. Look at some of the world today. You can see the hate. You can see the anger. You can see the division. You can see the bitterness. Why? Because that's all from that fallen identity of that first Adam. But even though you and I are born again, and you could be full of the Holy Ghost, would speak by what I mean by that, speaking in another tongue, but still have anger, still have bitterness, still have wrath in your heart. Because that's the part the Holy Spirit is assigned to do what? To root out, to pull down, to pluck out, to throw out, and to plant what? The love of God, the joy of God, the victory of God, the same love that's already in your spirit. That's the reason why some of our path of where we're going is not moving as fast as we desire. Why? Because there's some things that we need that the Holy Spirit know that if you don't deal with this right now, whatever that may be, it's going to hinder your growth. It's going to cause you to plunder. It's going to cause you to hurt yourself. And you may not be able to get up and move forward. So what he does? That's the reason why he's the one that is of God. He's pure. There's no impartiality in him. He is the one that's filled with God's love. And he will speak to us according to the word of the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? I want you to take those two verses of scripture again in Proverbs 16. Notice verse 1, he said, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue, they are both from the Lord. And so when you see that yourself, God, keep going around the same thing, or you keep witnessing the same thing, or you keep experiencing, it's the Holy Spirit trying to deal with you and show you his perspective, show you the Father's perspective. See, we have a worldview from the philosophy of how we viewed life, how things have happened to us. Not to say that they, to deny them, but now that you have this love, now that you're born of God, now that you can see more unrighteousness than you have ever seen before, God wants to use you, but he don't want to use you in the attitude that you have. God wants to use you in a manner to do what? To display the glory of his original intent for mankind. And God can't do it just in the spirit. God has to, he is a spirit. That spirit lives inside of you and I that's born again. But God uses our body as the display. As you, you know, when you go shopping, you see things on display and you say, oh, I like that. Well, your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he used it as a display that a person filled with hate, a person filled with anger, a person that's confused. He uses your disposition, he's using your disposition to do what? That a person can look up on you and say, man, I've never seen nothing like that. I need to talk to this guy. Oh, I like what he said. Well, what's happening? Because you never saw in that light. You never thought of in that light. And guess what? That's the Holy Ghost reaching out to all of us in our heart. And we have to give him an opportunity. That's why I said about Mary. Mary was going about her business. And that angel stepped into her life. But it was God's favor, her, that he wanted her to bring forth that child in the light that she did. It's the same thing about you and I. God has favored your life to bring forth something that no one else can do like you do. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be at work and complete it in a way to where God can say, okay, now I'm calling you to this. I want you to do this. I want you to make a stand against that. Because he know your response is going to be when you see the injustice, when you see things that's not right or whatever. He now know you're going to respond in the same likeness of the life that's in you rather than the philosophy of life, how you view from your past. I don't know. Did that really, I don't know how much you, but if you go back and listen to this, this lesson will be uploaded on the podcast of Grace Institute Online Bible School, and you can listen to it again and again, because I'm just sharing a little bit about, as we go with the scripture, I had no intention to share about my life and things I've been through and how they led me from one place to another place to another place. And I'll talk a little bit more about it more, but I didn't plan to do it. But it's just like the Holy Spirit just putting it in place to show you that I'm not speaking out of my head. I'm just speaking to you in places that where I've been, where I've seen how God functions and how he will bring us from place to place. And we don't even realize that how much he's at work until you get to a certain place in your walk and you begin to look back and you say, wow. And that's when you hear people say, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I wouldn't have never made it. That's not a light statement, because when I think about where I've been, when I think about how God has saved me and kept me, that's real. And when you understand that, now you move on from places like that in your life, and you begin to allow him to build in your life the thing now that he's ready for you to do. And man, once you understand that, you'll never turn back. You won't let nobody turn you back. Once you experience the love of God, the true love of God, oh no, you'll never open yourself to bitterness. You'll never open yourself up to hate. You'll never open yourself up to be judgmental, to be critical. My only judgment, my only means of being critical, it's going to be against the work of the devil. Not people, the devil. And that's why Jesus said, for this purpose was he manifest. Notice that to destroy the works of the devil, not people, destroy the works of the devil. You and I are walking epistles, and we are displaying the glory of God, the goodness of God, and we are tearing down the kingdom of darkness, letting it know and let people know that, hey, he has been disarmed. He has been shredded. He has been brought to naught, a zero with the rim knocked off. But they can't see that unless it's on you and I, and they hear it through our voice. I'm asking you, will you allow the Holy Spirit to put you on display? Not to do something, you know, whatever. No, just keep living life. And when people look up on you, people that know of you, and say, man, you changed. You don't speak like that no more. What's going on? What's happening? Because they'll pick it up. That's your open door to be a witness for the Holy Ghost. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. I've been gone for 45 minutes and my time is up. And I want to thank you so much for joining me on this Thursday morning edition. We always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a great day in the Lord. Bye-bye.